Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you. I hope you're having a fantastic day. We are not live today from the WBT studios, so if you're just tuning in, sit back, relax. Unfortunately, the phone lines won't be open, but we've got a lot to talk about. The show, Your Real Estate Today, is about real estate. Anything having to do with it. Buying homes, selling homes, investing in property, taking care of the home. Things that crawl around the home. We got Marty Ivy here from Ivy Exterminating today. Things that we can help you with to help keep your home in great shape or advise you if you're interested in investing in real estate or buying and selling. This is an informational type format. So we're excited to share with you today. Marty and I have been doing this for almost 10 years. I'll be 11 years in July. Oh, no, this is July. It was July. So it is 11 years now. It's gone by too fast.
Well, we outside of July.
We're outside of July. August 1st. I can't believe it's August 1st.
Well, actually, it's not August 1st. It's actually a little past that.
All right, I'm lost in a time capsule.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, Paul.
It's doing great, man. Life is good. You know, life is always good if you go through life with a positive attitude and Just think what a blessing it is, man. It's just great.
Yeah, thinking about Sam today.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, I know a lot of people don't know this, but my nephew who works in the business.
He's a regular with us.
Yeah, been on the show many times, regular with us. About 3 weeks ago, had a headache and went to the doctor, and they did a brain scan and had a brain tumor, and the next morning he lost his vision. That was on a Friday. And that Sunday, they did emergency surgery and took a 52-milliliter tumor out of his brain. Unbelievable. Got his vision back. He's going to get back to a normal life. Just unbelievable. Went up through his nose to remove the tumor. It's just been a blessing. Sam's very involved in the church. He had a lot of people that prayed for him. And, not to get out there on the fringe, but, there's miracles that happen, and he's one of them. We're very blessed to still have Sam with us, and he's going to be back to a normal life, and I think he'll be back to work in probably 3 or 4 weeks.
That's awesome.
Well, unbelievable.
God is with us. Very thankful.
Very, very thankful.
And we miss you, Sam. We hope you come back soon, and we're looking forward to having you back here. What a great testimony and what a great story you'll have. And since they went through your nose to get that tumor, there will be some jokes.
Oh, there's going to be some jokes.
That will be coming.
Yeah.
As a result of that, but that's just our privilege.
We ain't going to pick anything, but we just going to let you know.
There it goes. All right. I know he'll be breathing better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Marty, today I'm going to talk about, just quick, last week we talked about rentals some and investment property, so I'll just quickly summarize the rental tips from last week. And then today, since we don't have callers, I'm going to talk about dealing with a difficult tenant.
Wow.
Dealing with a difficult tenant.
And I want to hear that because I deal with them too. And let me tell you, it can be a task.
It is an opportunity. Yes, it is. And Marty, what are you going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about moisture, how it relates to crawl spaces, and how it relates to pest problems, termites, and other issues. It's, I talk about the yin and the yang a lot, and about the positive is always attracted to the negative, and how things follow predictable paths of energies. And let me tell you, moisture is what, in my world, gets everything rocking and rolling, and it causes a lot of destruction. And it's one of those things that can be controlled, and it just takes some common sense things, approaches to how you deal with it. And it can be an all-out phase, or you can do it at a, what I call the step of the ladder, where you take one step at a time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I walked in here, and we started talking about what we were going to discuss today. And of course, TJ here is here graciously giving us his time to help us pre-record today. And Marty said, you know what? The air in here is awful. And I just looked over at him. I said, yeah, I mean, it's cold enough in here. You can hang meat in
Yeah.
here. And besides that, the moisture in the air, you can just feel it.
Yeah, you can. And people don't realize this. When you get accustomed to going in crawl spaces, and you can go in a crawl space, and we take moisture meters and take moisture levels. We stick it in the wood, and it tells you the moisture content levels. And at different levels create different issues that you want to address or deal with. But the funny thing is once you get accustomed going in crawl spaces, you can feel the temperature change and the pressure change, too. It's all about the pressure. And from that, you can make a pretty reasonable guess about what the moisture levels are. And I'm usually spot on. I can go in and say, well, it feels like it's going to be about 25%. I was just in a crawl space this morning. I was like, I was looking at something somebody else had messed up, and they was trying to figure out how to salvage what had been done without completely spending another $10,000 or $15,000 on a crawl space. And I was like, hey, you know, this thing feels like it's about 25%. I took the meter out and stuck it up in the wood, and 25%.
Wow.
I was like, I'm still got it.
It's like the shoe guy. He can tell what size
just by
looking at him.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Marty, because I think there's a lot of truth to I think there's a lot of good and bad in the crawl space business and moisture, and you know this from experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have 10 different companies look at it, and you can get 10 different answers.
You get 10 different opinions. The crazy thing is about it is people don't realize that most of these issues that are going in crawl spaces is just what I call simple physics issue. Positive energy is attracted to negative energy. Warm, humid air is positive energy, and it's going to be attracted to a colder temperature. Right now in crawl spaces, what's going on? If your crawl space is an open air crawl space, meaning you have foundation vents that allow open air in it, what happens is this warm, humid air comes in through the crawl space, and in some cases, depending on the temperature of the crawl space, if it's a good deal lower than the outside air, and most of them are due to the design, what happens is this hot, humid air is drawn into the crawl space. It's pulled in there. It's like pulled in there like a magnet. And what happens is, whatever the dew point is, you know, most days the dew point's right now it's probably 70 degrees on a day like today. I mean, it's 70 degrees. It means anything at 70 degrees is going to sweat. So if you've got a crawl space that's 65, 66 degrees, like most of them are, especially if you've got air conditioning ducts that run through that crawl space, a condensation is going to occur, and it's going to cause the moisture levels to elevate to the substructure in the crawl space. And when that does, what it's going to cause to do is going to cause that wood to swell, and it's also going to cause that floor insulation to absorb that moisture. And when that insulation absorbs it, it tries to get rid of it through off-gassing. And when that occurs, that off-gassing lowers the floor temperature 8 to 10 degrees. It's called thermal cooling. And it's just through an evaporation process. It's sort of like when the body sweats. The purpose of the sweat is it evaporates. It lowers the core temperature of the body. And that's
why the floors are buckling?
That's why the floors buckles. And that's what. And what people don't realize is the first year the wood's dense and it's tough, so it can't absorb as much. But come fall, that moisture level will dissipate. And as it dries out, it will withdraw, and it causes movement in that wood. And over a year's period of 3 or 4 or 5 years, each year it swells a little more and it shrinks a little more. It swells a little more, and at some stage, depending if the conditions get right, a mycelium will occur, growth. And that growth will start to deteriorate the wood. It'll cause deflections in the wood. It'll cause floors to buckle. It'll cause substructures to rot out. I've got a house brand new that we did some work on last week. Brand new. And the guy has not been in the house less than 6 months, and he's already got microbial issues in the crawl space. Highly allergic inside. His significant other is highly allergic. So they were extremely concerned. And what was really ironic about this crawl space in some areas was as high as 12, 13 feet tall.
Wow.
So it's one of those things that crawl spaces are going to have moisture issues. We look in a lot of open-air crawl spaces, so you need to give us a call, 704-334-1616.
So in the show today, are you going to talk about some of the things that you guys can do remediate some of that?
We can remediate it. We can control the moisture. We can start at it on a slow basis, or we can start at it on a full-blown basis.
That's great. That's good. That's good to know. All right. Sounds good. Well, we've got a lot to go. We're going to talk, like I say, about rentals and dealing with difficult tenants, mosquitoes, moisture in the crawl space, so much more. Stay with us to show your real estate today here on News 1110 99.3 W. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management. We've got so much to talk about today here with my good friend Marty Ivy with Ivy Exterminating. We are pre-recorded today. So sorry about that. Just have a lot going on today from 1 to 3. You can see me in Providence Country Club. I am conducting an open house to a fantastic home on Providence Country Club Drive. So please come by, say hello. We would love to see you and hope that you're having a fantastic Saturday. We've got a lot to talk about. Again, I am talking about I'm going to summarize the rental tips from last week and then talk about dealing with a difficult tenant. Marty has been sharing with us about moisture and crawl space and mosquitoes. So stay with us. There's so much we're going to share with you today. So here is kind of the summary of what we talked about. If you are an investor and you're thinking about renting your home, here are a random group of things that I felt were important to talk about, and I'll move through them quickly because if you probably heard them last week, they're great reminders for you. Number one, always raise the rent. Always raise the rent. And the reason for that is, yes, you think you have good tenants, and yes, they've been consistent, and yes, you don't want to lose them, but always raise the rent. Just think, if they're living in an apartment, I guarantee you they're always going to raise the rent. And even if it's insignificant, $15, $20 a month, raise the rent. They're not going to move over a small increase in rent. Remember, it costs at least $1,000 to move. So don't think that they're going to jump on you, and you should train that every year that is going to happen. Sometimes you need larger increases to get it to market rent. If it's $100, $150, depending on what your rent is, it may be the time for them to say goodbye if they can't afford it. All right. Be selective with the tenants. Make it okay to stay vacant. I have a particular house that I could have rented multiple times. I've chosen not to for one reason or the other based on qualifications. One thing in particular, and I'll just be straightforward with it, Marty and I talk about this all the time, is this is a house that I own. I will not rent to somebody that has a cat. Cat urine is terrible. I'm not a cat hater. I'm just not going to rent to somebody that has a cat. It's a brand new house, and it ain't going to happen. So I'm okay with that.
We've got a story right now about a cat. This is a great story.
Okay, wait.
Go ahead and finish.
No, we're not going to run over this one with the lawnmower like we did last one.
No.
Okay, all right. And then cat story. All right, I made a note. Okay, so think about the fact that oh, gosh, I can only believe what's coming. So think about the fact that if you can't let the house stay vacant for 60 days, you need to sell it. So it's, you know, you need to build into your pro forma things that give you the flexibility to get the right tenant. Next, answer the phone. If somebody calls you and wants to rent your house, they're never going to if you don't answer the phone. Answer the phone. I promise you, it'll work. Okay. Give people pre-qualification questions up front before you get in the car and burn the gas. There's a lot of nice people out there that just can't afford the house you want to rent. It's okay. You can help them find something else. If you are going to rent, you need to think about other things besides the lease.
like a spice addendum. For those that cook with exotic spices, they can cause just as much harm as other toxic substances and need to be remediated. Smoking addendum, social media addendum, bed bug addendum, all of those things need to be incorporated. Also, verify their insurance. Make sure they got it, insurance, before you give them the keys to the castle. All right? Make sure they don't just make money, but they can afford it. How many times have you met someone that makes a gajillion dollars but doesn't have a dollar? Make sure that they're not so leveraged that they can afford to live in the home. Separation and divorce does bad things to a lot of people's credit. Take that into account when you screen an applicant. There are things on the credit report that are out of people's control. Be aware of that. It does make a difference. If someone has been evicted, verify the story. But boy, you better check for it. If something on their application is vague, ask questions and make sure you get it verified. I gave the example last week. As a pilot, when you're flying instrument, you basically are flying in a closet with your lights on. You can't see around you if you're in the clouds. So you're taught and trained to trust your instruments. But the rule of thumb is trust, but verify. Make sure you are not flying upside down. All right? And then last but not least, my favorite, if you want to find out about somebody, look on Facebook. Because you will learn a lot. Or go to Google Reviews and see what reviews that person has left about other people, and you're going to find out how they're going to treat you. It makes a big difference. So, you know, I was meeting with somebody this morning, a real rock star agent up in Mineral Springs area named Debbie Klontz. And she is a true rock star, and she's getting ready to hire people. And I have a technique. When I'm getting ready to hire somebody, I take them out to eat. My wife and I do. And we ask them to bring their significant other along. And so what I do is I pay the waiter to mess up the order. Because I want to see how they treat people they really don't need. And it's amazing. You know, because they're going to treat you nice, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Because they want the job.
They want the job. But when they look up and something is wrong, the way that they respond and talk to the waiter is a good thing. And people ask me, well, why do you bring their significant other along? I say, well, here's the reason. Crazy at home, crazy at work.
A lot of truth to that.
So it's something interesting to think about with renters and tenants. Crazy on Facebook, crazy in your rental house.
Listen, this funny story that you say that, I've got a lot of people call me a lot. I probably get 4 or 5 calls a day. People want me to refer them to do something. And I got a lot of people I know that are in the service business, do service things, and they post a lot of stuff on Facebook that I just think is unwise. So one of them, who is a high-end service provider that basically provides custom things for homes, I bet you I've sent 40 customers in the last 20 years to them, and that would spend in excess of $10,000-$15,000. Mm-hmm. This specialty type of item these people provide. And I run into a lot of these customers and never use them. And I had a customer here a while back that needed something done for their kitchen. Been an excellent choice who this particular person. And they didn't use them. And I asked a customer why they didn't use them. And they said, well, I went on Facebook and looked them up. And says, I do that before I hire anybody. And says, when they start posting that crazy stuff about politics, I know that I'm going to get burned.
Yep.
And that's why I didn't use them. And I was like, wow. I always thought that was a reason, but I was like, wow, I would have never guessed that.
What young people put up there never goes away.
Yep.
And I try to tell people that. Young agents.
It's funny. I mean, it's a funny thing, but back to the cat story.
Okay, we have 30 seconds,
okay.
So we may need to...
I had a home inspector that inspected the house.
Uh-huh.
And went in, house nice and clean, had a great odor, it had potpourri everywhere. Buyer moves in the house, 2 weeks later he calls up, I smell cat urine. And come to find out, the cat, where they had put the litter box that wasn't there when the home inspection was done because they moved it out, the cat had been missing the litter box and the urine had been running down the wall and nobody could see it. And it had took about $4,000 in repairs to get it out.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah.
They have companies that specialize
in
ununing.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for handling that cat story in a good way with us today, because it's much better than the one we did last
time. Yes. Well, I'm a cat lover, but, it is. I like
cats. I'm allergic to them.
I'm allergic to them, too, but I still like cats, but they do have some good cat jokes.
All right. We'll be back. You got me flustered. Yeah. We'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today. I'm here with Marty Ivey, Ivey Exterminating. I'm Paul Jamison, Jamison Realty, Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. The Show Your Real Estate Today. Don't go away. We'll be right back. News 1110, 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here, your host with the Jamison family of companies, property management, investment, and real estate. Here with Marty Ivey, Ivey Exterminating. Marty and I, in the first segment, were talking about moisture and moisture in the crawl space. And I do apologize that we are pre-recording today, folks. I'm sorry that we can't take your calls, but we should be back to normal next Saturday. Marty, you spent and gave a really good explanation about how that moisture gets into the crawl space and what it does and how the reaction of that moisture can affect flooring, insulation, and the integrity of the crawl space. There's a lot of debate around sealed crawl space, closing the vents, opening the vents, vapor barriers / insulation, non-insulation. What are some of the most common things that you run across and how do you treat them?
The most common things that we're running across, we're looking at a lot of crawl spaces, and it's hard to get a crawl space in today's environment. When I say today's environment, with the heat and humidity that we're dealing with on a daily basis, it's tough to get a crawl space under a 20% moisture content level. And what people doesn't realize is this is something that happens every year at this time. I could look at it 3 months prior, and it would be lower. I could look at it 6 months prior from today's date, and it's going to be lower. It's just during the warm, humid time of year that these moisture levels accelerate. If you're smelling musty odors inside the house, that's usually that an enzyme is working to try to break something down, meaning that moisture has created a microbial growth, and that enzyme that microbial is producing is trying to break something down, and that's where that odor, that off-gassing comes from.
Is it too late by that point?
It's not too late. Sometimes you can put a vapor barrier down and get reasonable control if it's a combination of ground moisture and outside air. If you've already got a vapor barrier down, more than likely you're not going to control that moisture levels in the crawl space by putting a new vapor barrier down. I hear that a lot from a lot of different service providers that do these vapor barriers. And they say, oh, all you need is a new vapor barrier. Well, what? Is the old one just not working? I mean, I like the way you think, but that's just not reasonable thinking. If you've got an existing vapor barrier, a new vapor barrier, unless it's completely deteriorated, it's not going to give you any benefit. It may look better, but it's not going to give you any benefit. Then you start having this, how can you control these moisture levels that are occurring? The best way, in my opinion, is to block the foundation vents and put a dehumidifier in the crawl space. That's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can put a fan system in, and a fan system will work, but the problem with a fan system is the law of probability. It takes a bunch of fans to turn that air over to the right point that it's pulling this moisture levels down. And in most cases, fan systems cause moisture levels in the crawl space to elevate. It doesn't cause them to decrease. So it's something that you need to kind of factor into the equation. In most cases, it's houses built. Most houses are not built on level lots with level crawl spaces. Everything's got a slope. So if your outside grade is different around the outside of the house, that grade will cause different cold zones within that crawl space, which causes what I call the negative and the positive. It causes hot, humid air to be pulled harder to these cold zones. And in these cold zones, typically the ground clearance in these areas are less than areas where you've high clearance. And when that occurs, it increases pressure, which increases these moisture levels to just really shoot up. You rarely will find moisture levels consistent in a crawl space. They will be low at one end and high at another, and it's all about these cold zones. Generally speaking, areas associated to porches, patios, and garages, especially garages and front porches, will be your highly elevated areas, and areas directly around the air unit. What you get to in this time of year, if you've got an air unit in your crawl space, you're pulling cold air through that air unit, and you've got a lot of exposed metal that dews up rapidly, which will sweat rapidly. So you can look at it. In most cases, your air ducts are not insulated enough that it doesn't cause sweating on some of your air ducts, especially adjacent to areas where a lot of these air ducts sometime are placed in close proximity of foundation vents. So what happens is this humid air comes right through the foundation vents, hits the air duct, and immediately starts sweating in that area. And it's really fascinating to look at it on a daily basis. Once the moisture levels reach 20%, you're going to start at some stage through time, you're going to get some microbial growth to occur. Once it gets rampant, meaning that you get microbial growth on the joist, and it'll start to eventually wick up above the insulation line. Once it gets up above that insulation line, the only way that you're really going to get it clean and get it off is to pull the insulation, clean it, put new insulation back, and then control the moisture.
And yeah, it's a lot of these systems that they have in the crawl space they have filters and stuff right in them that people don't change, and so that system works harder and it sweats more and blah,
correct,
blah, 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 blah.
And, you know, it's just a Mother Nature's way of taking it back, who is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, in the summertime, these air ducts are sweating. It causes the joints to get loose. The joints get loose. And the wintertime comes, the joints dry out, cause a little bit more loose. Then in the summertime the following year, you're starting to get air leaks. And these air leaks cause these moisture levels, these condensation levels to elevate. It's really fascinating to see it because we look at them on a yearly basis. It's fascinating to see how they change over a period of time. It's something that you need to keep an eye on. Once that level gets in the 20% range, not only are you having microbial issues, but you're going to start to get insect issues.
Yeah, can we transition moisture and the attraction of that for mosquitoes?
Yes, yes. Not only are you going to get mosquitoes that are going to start to habitat in the crawl space and migrate up around your foundation vents through your floor registers and get up in your house that way if you're getting air leaks, but it just creates a lot of environment for an insect population to occur. Everything from crickets to earwigs, and then my favorite of all favorite is termites. Once it reaches 20%,
surprise,
it is like putting ketchup on French fries. A termite is blind, can detect wood 15 to 20 feet in either direction, and can travel up to 1,000 yards in a 14-day period. When that wood gets 20%, he knows it's there, and he is very attracted to it. I had a house 2 years ago that we had looked at, and it had a bunch of water damage to some exterior window frames. The house was on a concrete slab. They did not take, have any visible termite evidence. They decide they're going to redo the house, take the siding off the house. Everywhere on that house where they had a rotted window frame, when they tore all that siding off and all that window trim off, they had termite damage on every one of those windows.
Wow.
And what it does is the termite knows it's there, and he goes there. It gives him a more easier food source to eat. I mean, it's easier. It's broken down easier. He doesn't have to work as hard, and he can stay up there, and he can feed longer. And it's something that you very You need to be mindful of it. I can't stress that enough. We have a lot of customers that want to turn a blind eye to it. And if you turn a blind eye to it, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And the denser it gets on the wood, or the more moisture problems get elevated in the crawl space, it's harder to fix. And it's something that you need to get somebody that looks at, that knows what they're doing. So at any time, you can give us a call at 704-334-1616 or bugivy.com.
You know, the last show I did a couple of, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago with Sam, we were talking about mosquitoes. And the interesting thing about it is he was talking about this time of year, how the mosquitoes themselves can be controlled and can be sprayed for. And the common areas that they migrate is in kids' toys and things outside, bird baths, and all the other
they
kind
do.
Of things.
And, that you do. Know,
and,
every,
and things you don't even think about, the things at the bottom of your gutters.
Right,
the
splash blocks.
Splash blocks.
You know, the splash block's a big curiosity to me, why people want to turn them around backwards.
Oh, I mean, don't even get me started.
I think the world has become allergic to reasonable thinking, but people turn their splash blocks around backwards, and if it doesn't take but a Coca-Cola bottle cap of water for a mosquito to start to reproduce to lay her eggs in. Children's toys is a great example. It rains, we get a rain this time of year, and the next thing you know, within 3 or 4 or 5 days, the mosquitoes are in there breeding. So you need, after every rain, you need to flip these drip trays and toys over.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. All right, well, we'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Stay with us. Marty Ivy, Ivy Exterminating, myself, Paul Jamison. Stay tuned. News 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison from the Jamison Family of Companies. Investment, real estate, and property management, here with Marty Ivy with Ivy Exterminating. You know, a lot going on in your house, underneath, around, inside, and outside, isn't there, Marty?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. And thank goodness you're there. You know, Marty, Marty does the termite control for us at our house, and love that.
Yeah, me too.
Just want to say.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm very humbled to... You know, this a lot of people don't realize Ivy Exterminating was started in 1954 by my parents, and I've always been very humbled how hard they worked and to get that business started and to provide me and my family with a quality of life. And
it's a legacy, man.
And now I'm going to be able to pass it on to my nephews and hope it's all good. Listen, we've had a great business here in Charlotte, and we grow every year, and I'm very, very blessed to have that.
Yep, and you do good work, man.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, so difficult tenants. Ooh. How do you deal with them? You know, I'm going to do my best. These are, of course, any of these ideas we could do a whole show on, quite frankly. But if you've got a difficult tenant, or, you know, even sometimes a difficult buyer or seller, if you're an agent out there listening today, or if you have a difficult issue with a neighbor, maybe some of these things will apply. But my first and most common thing is, if you're dealing with a difficult tenant and they begin to what we call work on the bowl over strategy, you need to make sure you know the law. You need to make sure not only do you know it, you extra know it, so that you are confident in the way in which you respond. Because I guarantee you, if you don't know the law, they do. They know the laws. They know their rights. And you have to know when the baloney meter is on and when it's off. And that comes from experience. If they threaten you, it is intentional. When they begin to threat, there's a reason why they're doing it. May not be obvious, but there is. And especially, you need to know that they're going to go after you if you don't respond in the way you like. They're going to get on social media and hide behind technology, and they're going to come. So have a social media addendum to protect you and them in that scenario. It's reciprocal. Next, don't lose your cool. I know that in my business, I've shared this with y'all, and I know Marty is the same way. We want everyone to be happy. We want harmony. We want quiet enjoyment. We want accolades and praise when we work hard and do a good job. But you can't lose your cool. And yes, we all take it personally because this is our business. It's got our names on it. And you can't lose your cool. Tenants also believe they hold all the cards. Now, they do hold a bunch of them, but they don't hold them all. And that goes back to number one, know the law and know what your rights are. Also, if there's an issue, don't let it drag on. The longer it drags on, the worse it gets and the less leverage you have. Do not let an issue go on and on and on. Nip it in the butt, deal with it, take care of it. Sometimes there's a mentality to run over dollars to pick up dimes. If there's an issue you can take care of that's worth taking care of, take care of it. All right? Use a lease that is tight and protects both parties. You know, the lease that you get off of the internet or the lease that you get from LegalZoom or anywhere else is putting you at risk. If you're going to do that, make sure you run by an attorney that lease and let them take a look at it before you have a tenant sign it. All right? Also, when dealing with a difficult tenant, stay focused on the goal. What's the goal? Get your rent paid and look after the asset. All right? Pretty simple. So, dealing with damaged or untidy properties, do it immediately. Provide them an opportunity to remedy it, put it in writing, and reinspect. If you don't go back and show up, like we had a tenant the other day that brought chickens to the house, not in the house, to the house, set up a coop in the backyard, and begin selling eggs on the street.
Oh, mercy.
All right. We gave them the written warning, and we go back out, and we ask them, where are the chickens? The one time that happened, he smiled, grinned, and said, we ate them. So, you know, that's one way to dispose of the problem, you know. So, all right. Have documents that lay out what an emergency is. Everybody has a definition for emergency. But in rental property, have a document that says, if you're going to wake me up at 2 a.m., it better not be for a clogged toilet. Here is the definition of emergency. Like, I have no water. Like, it's 100 billion degrees outside and I have no AC. Like, it's 2 degrees outside and I have no heat. Not, there's a light bulb out on the porch. That is not an emergency. Okay. I make my point. I got off the desk, by the way. Report discrepancies or non-payments to the credit bureaus. Don't think for one minute that there is not a covenant that has a financial aspect. Report to the credit bureaus. And make sure that the tenant knows you are going to report to the credit bureaus. Use communication that is aligned to the severity of the problem you're dealing with. Do not evict someone because they didn't trim the bushes. The punishment must meet the crime, and the lease should spell that out very, very clearly. Going back to that lease again. Don't enter the property without proper notification. Now, your lease should have notification that says within 24 hours, with proper notice, unless it's an emergency, you should be able to get into that property. So how do you do that? We do the trifecta. We email them, we send a letter, and we call them. Now, if we don't get a response from any one of those, I have been known in situations to drive to the property, tack the letter onto the front door, and take a picture of it. That's about as good of a notice as you can get. All right? Set your rules clearly on how things will be when you move out and deal with issues in person. That way, nobody's hiding behind technology. It's amazing what can get done sitting across from each other. All right? Marty, how can people get in touch with you if they want to get help with their crawl space or
you
their
You can reach us
situation?
At 704-334-1616 or bugivy.com.
All right. So I'm off the table now, and we can talk more real estate. If you want to talk to us, we're at 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. We appreciate you all. Thank you for everything. Call us if you need us at 846-3663. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.